Welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Oh, glory. Father, tonight we just submit to the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Mighty One to deliver. Father, we thank you tonight that Jesus is in this place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Father God, have your way and minister tonight through your word to us in a powerful way that'll set the captives free, that'll encourage your children. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Come on, let's lift up that name tonight. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you to the band. You just don't know it, but this was so spot on. Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful. God bless you all. It's time for the word of the Lord. You're here on a Sunday evening. Can you imagine that? While other people are doing all kinds of things, you're in the house of God, and we're going to have a powerful word from the Lord. I cannot even imagine if we're going to get past my introduction, because God has got a promise for you right in my introduction tonight. Last week, Pastor Harold spoke with this very powerful time we had with the Prayer October event of praying on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And how many of you were, I'm not to embarrass you, but how many of you were not here last Sunday evening, can I see? Okay, if you were not here, I would really encourage you to get the morning message on the hedge of protection. That was one of the most powerful messages. If you catch that one, you will go through, you will not go under. You will have protection in the midst of the storm. And then in the evening, Pastor Harold spoke a very powerful prophetic word. If you are not anchored and secure in Christ, that might very well scare you, the word that came. But if you understand the name above all names, if you understand the safety that there is in Christ Jesus, who is for us a mighty fortress, if you understand that, my brother, my sister, you will go through no matter what comes. You will not go under. And this is the word of the Lord. If you have a Bible, open it tonight, right here in the beginning, in Isaiah 43, verse 2. Just open your Bible and take out a pen. I want you to write today's date there for you. It's the 21st, if I'm not mistaken, of the 10th month, 2018. Write the date there, and then you say, for me. This is the promise that God is giving you. Here it is. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Thank you for one amen. I said, if you go through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. I release faith right now to believe the scripture in the name of Jesus. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. My brother and sister, God gave me this promise on Friday already. And I gave it to you yesterday at the prayer meeting. And I'm giving it to you tonight. And I'm giving it to you watching via live streaming. And I want to tell you, God is for you. No matter how the winds will howl, no matter how the flames will burn, no matter how much water will come, no matter the oppression, no matter the economic state, no matter the difficulty, God is with you. And you're going to go through hell. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand and give him praise for that. Let go in the name of Jesus. Take your victory. Come on, come on, come on. Now is the time to take it. I want to see faith. Come on. Come on. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now you may take your seats. That's the introduction. You know what's the saddest thing? To see people looking at me funny. He's doing this. If you only know what is coming. I'm not telling it to scare you. But you will need a mighty fortress in the days ahead. And I want to tell you, if you're really serious, take the scripture, print it out, put it where you can see it, keep it before your eyes. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. If you look in the natural, there was a frightening word. Caroline's caught that one. Spoke to me about it in the week. How many of you remember when Pastor Harold said there will come a time where men's hearts will fail them because of fear? I remind you, this is not a joke. If you look in the natural, you don't even want to think with the mind of an economist or a banker or people with the financial things. You don't want to think in the political arena. This is the word of the Lord, if you listened to last week. But God, here we are, His children. Oh, and we've got a name above all names. We've got a mighty fortress. And I want to take you into a message tonight that I hope I'll be able to finish. But you need to understand, as a child of God, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, He's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Pray for wisdom. Pray that that spirit of fear, in fact, that spirit of fear right now, and you agree with me in Jesus' name, is bound. That's it. No fear. We're the children of the Most High God. Can I ask you, you child of God, where does Jesus Christ live right now? Come on. In me. Colossians 1:27. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Do you think God will destroy me as long as Christ is in me? Do you think He'll allow me to go under? No ways. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. No matter what comes, you will go through. Hebrews 1 verse 1, we see that Jesus Christ is the express image of God. Therefore, Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, the Trinity, represents for me this fortress. There will be times that you will run to God the Father and you will say, oh, Almighty God, I need you now. There will be times that you'll find your comfort in the arms of Jesus, and there will be times that you'll just sit with a comforter. But He will take you through. There is a word, and I hold on to that word. It was spoken from this platform under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it said, South Africa shall be called paradise again. I don't know how, but it's true. It's gonna come. Praise God. Psalm 118 verse 14. And please, if you have a Bible, go so long to Psalm 46. Open your Bibles to Psalm 46 while I give you a few scriptures here talking about the safety we have in the name of God Almighty. Here we have Psalm 118 verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Do you need salvation? Do you need a lawyer tonight? The Lord is your strength. He is your defense and your salvation. David wrote Psalm 28 verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices. And with my song I will praise Him. Psalm 28 verse 8, the Lord is their strength also, and He is the saving refuge of His anointed. David understood protection. You're in the desert. You can see in every direction as far as the eye can see. There's no place to hide, except you have a mighty fortress. This message I said to the pastors just now, I'm preaching it to me tonight. You can take it for you if you want to, but I will need a mighty fortress in the days ahead. Can you say amen to that one? Psalm 27 verse 8, David again. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. This is not a time to seek magazines and TV programs and entertainment. It's a time to seek the Lord. Thank you. Now, Psalm 46. This psalm speaks volumes. It's one of my favorite psalms. One of the sons of Korah wrote it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. God is our refuge. He is our strength. And I want to tell you, no matter what you will face or are facing or even have faced, there's only one safe place on this planet, and that is under the arms and the wings of God Almighty, if I may use that expression. Psalm 46 verse 2. Therefore we will not fear. He is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. Even though the earth be moved, come on. Even though the mountains be carried to the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and are troubled, it speaks of nations in uproar, though mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. When the night is at its darkest, my brother and sister, tonight, God is about to bring you your breakthrough. Is there anybody that needs that? Hallelujah. 46 verse 6. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. 46 7. The Lord of hosts. Now here is one of his names. Sabaoth, the Lord Jehovah Sabaoth is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. Who has made desolations in the earth? He makes war cease in the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. And then my favorite verse, Psalm 46 verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. If you've ever been in a real fortress, the walls are so thick, it's quiet in there. Listen. You've got to let go, be still, let go of everything and go into that fortress and find your safe shelter there. The name of the Lord is a mighty fortress for you. And then he says, and know that I am God. Be still, let go, and know that I'm God. And then verse 46, verse 11. The Lord of hosts, Sabaoth, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You that have gone through difficult times, there comes a time where the only place you can go is to the safety of the arms of God. The only place where anything makes sense is in the refuge, in the quiet of a fortress, away from the problems that surround you. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, who's the righteous? Us, run into it and are safe. We are safe as long as we are in the Lord. But I am so worried because there are people, like Pastor George said this morning, that play around with sin. That story of the snake that he was speaking about, it's true. The boa constrictors and the anacondas and the pythons, these big constructors, what they do is they identify something that they think they can manage to kill and take in. Eat. And then they will begin to watch you, starve themselves. It's true. Why he said about this is, I had a big thing about snakes once upon a time, and I had 98 snakes of my own. Can you believe it? Very few people know, but I had a night adder that slept in my bed. Night adder in my bed. The devil really took good care of me. That was before I was born again. True? Yes. Anyway, the point is this. That thing then begins to rub against you, to size you up. And you know, it's nice to play with it and it coils around you, etc., etc. But it's actually saying, I'm nearly there. One bite and it squeezes you. And don't you think your shoulders are too broad? It can squeeze you into a nice edible package. Don't play with sin. It is sizing you up. And at the right moment, it'll take its turn and devour. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, I encouraged you the last time I spoke to you to study the names and attributes of God. And to make it easy, I gave you those notes tonight. I'm not going to go there. But I'd like you for 30 days to find time. Those are just 30 of the names and attributes. There are many, many more. But please find the time and meditate for a day on one of the names or the attributes of God. Why do I say that? Because if you begin to study the names of God in particular, you will find that every Hebrew name of God that you can find is a safe refuge, a fortress for you in the time of trouble. If you need healing, there is a name of God for you. If you need providence providing for you, there is a name for you. If you need protection, there is a name for you. Run into that name and hide yourself in the mighty fortress of the name of God, where nothing can touch you. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. Who is He to you? Who is He to you? I would encourage you to spend more and more time with Him to find out who He really is. Spend time in the Word. Now is a time that we need to find our shelter under the arms of God, knowing who He is, knowing His names. Jeremiah 9 verse 23. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But 24. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and he knows me. If we understand God and if we know God, we will trust God. When times are tough, we will know where to go and find that we can trust Him. Call upon Jehovah Rapha. Call upon Jehovah Nissi. Call upon Jehovah Jireh. Call upon His names when you need safety and protection. Remember, I spoke about His loving kindness and His mercy, who is like a womb. The attribute is just ways of expressing His character. To get to know Him, we need to study those names. Very briefly, I want to quickly just take you to Moses again. I spoke about him in our last messages. But Moses understood one thing, and that is he had a heart after God. And he knew that as long as he went back to God, God would always wait for him. The problem, and particularly young people and those that are still young in the Lord, the problem with many people is they don't understand grace. They don't understand mercy in its proper perspective. It's not a license to sin. It's not a green traffic light to go in and do whatever you want to do. But it is there for us when we need it. When I need grace, the worst thing that a person can ever do is to run away from God. No, run back to Him. His arms, listen tonight, is still open. That's why He died on a cross like that, to embrace the sins of the world, yours and mine. Excuse me. So here we have Moses. Like Moses, we can be radically changed if we seek Him continuously. There are people, unfortunately, that just seek him on a Sunday. Maybe once or twice a year they will seek him with Pentecost and Easter, Passover, maybe Christmas. But make it your habit in the days to come to seek him every day of your life, my brother and sister. Every day. Don't skip a day. The first thing I do in the morning when I open my eyes, I'm not even awake. The first thing I do is I say, I commit today to you. Because if I dare to put my foot out of the bed before I say that, I already stepped probably out of the will of God. Commit your ways to the Lord, and he will bring everything to pass for you. We see his sequence of events there. And I'm not going to go deep into it. Time is chasing me because I've got something else I want to do tonight for you and with you. But we see in Exodus 3, the first thing Moses did, he's there in the backside of the desert, shepherding his father-in-law's sheep there. And he's busy there. And suddenly he comes across this burning bush. And you've got the whole story. I preached it. I'm not going to go there again. All I want to say to you, there's a few things that stood out for me is, number one, God revealed himself to Moses. The good news is, and I say it again and I will say it until Jesus comes, he wants to reveal himself to you and to me. All we need to do is to be in the right place. And you know what? Sometimes the backside of the desert where you might be tonight is the very place that he will reveal himself to you and meet with you. But understand, he's a holy God. You will have to take in consideration he's a holy God. Understand also he's an eternal God. That bush didn't burn up. It went on and on and on. Like God goes on and on and on. Don't think that God is not in your tomorrow and in your next year. He is there because he's going on and on and on. And if you're going to live for another 50 or 100 years, with the youngest people here, they say we're going to get 120 now. You're here, young man. You're going to grow to be 120 years old. It went on and on and on. He gets the instructions from God to be a deliverer. Now, this is where my second part of my message kicks in tonight. God has got a plan and a purpose for you. Don't you think tonight that you're too insignificant, too weak, too sinful. God has got a plan and a purpose with your life. Now, if you dare believe that, say amen. Amen. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And he wants to reveal it to you. He revealed himself as I am who I am. Eya Esher, Eya, I gave you that name. If you don't know what I'm talking about now, go and find all my DVDs and CDs and listen to the lot. You'll find it somewhere. That means I exist. Because I exist. I want to tell you, if you need God 20 years from now in the most difficult situation, if you need him before the end of the year, if you need him in any situation, even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I exist is with you. I exist. God Almighty is with you. He is with you through the storms. He's with you in the good times. He's with you in the bad times. The God of the mountain is still God in the valley. Yes, amen for that one. He continually wants to reveal himself. He revealed himself to Moses as the eternal God, El Olam. You will need El Olam in the days to come. That bush didn't burn up. The name of the Lord is still a strong tower. He revealed himself as a continual presence. He is with him. Jehovah Shammah. He is there when you need him. Eternally present. Owen hears the shocking thing. Even when you do that thing that you think people don't know about, God is watching. Jehovah Shammah. He's there to help. Moses understood his eternal presence. David understood it. The disciples understood it. Matthew 28, 18. Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Paul understood it. The Livingston, the missionary. Do you know how he died? A king came to visit. If I've told the story, but I'm just going to tell it for whoever hasn't heard. A king of a neighboring village came to visit this missionary, Livingston. And his servant said, you cannot go in now. He's busy with his king. And Livingston was standing on his knees in front of his little stretcher bed, those old wooden things, standing there on his knees, busy with his king. And then later the king from the neighboring village said, I need to see him urgently. I've got to go. And the servant said, no, he's still busy with his king. And eventually they went in and they found him. He died on his knees like this with his king. Why? Because he believed that God was with him even to the end of his life. God's going to be with you to the end of your life. And guess what? When you close your eyes here on earth, you're just going to open it again in his presence. Hallelujah. Woo! His holiness is another attribute that we need to take care of. Isaiah 59 verse 2. Just want to read it for you quickly. I encourage you again, please go and read Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. This sounds like an oxymoron, because I just said now that God is with you always. Here's the point. The one thing that'll take you away from God, not God away from you, but you will go and hide like Gideon in the wine press. You will go and hide because you will feel fearful and weak. Recently, I went through a bit of a dry patch. You know what? You know me by now. I'm very honest about how my life is. I cannot stand here and just say, oh, God is good all the time, whatever. I'm human. I'm like you. And I want to tell you, we all go through things. And I went through a difficult time. And at one point, God became very silent in my life. And I was wondering, Father, did you know? Not because of sin or whatever. He was just quiet. And if there's one thing God must not do to me is become quiet on me. I need to hear his voice. Otherwise, I wonder what's going on. I became worried and I said, Father, if you still hear me and your spirit is still with me, send me a sign of your favor that you still are with me. I walked past my bookshelf and this tiny little book somehow jumped out at me. It didn't jump out, but it jumped out. I just saw this. Have you felt like giving up lately? I grabbed it and I couldn't stop reading it. It's David Wilkerson, Cross and the Switchblade. Have you felt like giving up lately? Get the book. I'll take royalties on that. No, seriously. Get the book. Because this little book is one of the most powerful things I've ever read. Have you felt like giving up lately? David Wilkerson. And God started to speak to me. And he started to bring things into perspective. And for the remainder of this message, the next 15 minutes or so, I want to quickly take you into why you can never feel that God has given up on you. Because he hasn't. He's still there. Moses understood the holiness. In the chapter 3, we see him in the presence of God, fearing the presence of God, the holiness. He had to bow his head with a burning bush. He had to take the shoes off his feet. But the remainder of the book, he wanted to do one thing, and that is to increasingly get closer to God. In the days ahead, if you want to experience the safety of a mighty fortress, the names and attributes of God is there ready for you to explore, to enter in, to find your safety there. But it implies that you will have to draw closer to Him. James 4 verse 8, draw nigh to Him and He will draw nigh to you. Here we have God's protection for him in a cloud. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Sabaoth. Exodus 33 verse 15. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. I fear being out of the will of God. Because being out of the will of God is the closest you're going to ever come to hell on earth, apart from being a sinner. But if you believe, if you really believe that God is for you, and you enter into Him, you find His perfect will for your life, it'll be the closest you can ever be to heaven on earth, in His presence. That cloud asks of us, it asks of us to understand His presence moves with us. I want to stop you for a minute and just say there are people about to make major decisions. When in doubt, cut it out. Number two, if the peace of God is not fully present in your heart, don't make that decision. Wait for the cloud to move. I've had situations in my life where I waited for a cloud to move for many, many years. Years. Not hours or minutes or days or seconds. Years. So here it comes. God works through people. He worked through Moses. And just by the way, I read this interesting thing. And I'm so sorry Pastor Louis isn't here tonight. He would have enjoyed this. Leonardo da Vinci said, an arch is only two weaknesses leaning against each other to form a strength. Marriage is like that, a weakness and a weakness forming a strength. A partnership in a business is like that, a weakness and a weakness leaning against itself. Here's the only exception. We cannot apply this to God because God is our strength. Amen. All right. So, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said to me, Paul, when he felt horrible about his life and that stupid thorn that did not want to leave him. Pastor George said this morning, we all have a thorn. If Cook says this is my only thorn, I'm very happy. It's not a thorn. If I was as dead to everything in my life as I am to sport, I would be a saint. But you know and I know that if you really want to be honest tonight, we all have a crack in our wall. We all have a thorn somewhere. Now, don't look so holy. Just look at everybody else around you doing that and you'll feel better to do that like the dog in the back of a car going like that. I want to tell you, if you sit here tonight and you think you don't have a thorn, wake up. Because we all have a sinful nature. Give the devil a half a chance and he's going to take it. So here we have Paul writing. And he said to me, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In the Living Bible, which we don't have on the board, it says, my power shows up best in weak people. I like that. God's power shows up best in weak people. Watch it when you become strong, strong, strong. I always say when I feel like that, I already go on my knees because I know that carpet is about to be plucked out from under me to teach me just a little bit of humility. So, from this book of David Wilkerson, he starts with Moses and he said, and I want to just stick to the notes here a little bit, and I promise you we're not going to go on forever, but you need to hear this because God clearly spoke to me and said to me, in this place tonight, there will be people that will identify major with what I'm about to share here now. So, from this little book of David Wilkerson, he says, would you consider Moses a failure? No, hardly. But his whole life started out as a murderer, and then 40 years in the desert, running away from the consequences of that murder. But in the desert, God met him. Now, don't go and murder somebody to get close to God. If you've got plans, just talk to Rose. She can get you into prison without having to kill somebody. She just can't get you out again. Moses was a man of fear and unbelief. He even at one stage argues with God and says, oh, I can't talk. Or whatever. And I'm not making fun. I'm just saying that he couldn't talk. He was slow of speech or whatever. He was trying to get out of it. Remember I said there's a calling on your life? Don't try and get out of it. Don't make excuses. I am is with you. His failures didn't keep him out of the hall of fame, by the way. Read about him in Hebrews 11. Jacob, the great prayer warrior who had a vision of the angels of the Lord going up and down, and he even wrestled with the angel of the Lord and he prevailed, walked away with a limp. But this Jacob, man, as a youth, he deceived his poor blind father. He stole his brother's inheritance. He married the wrong wife, and then he longed for her sister, and he failed in his responsibilities as a husband. After the birth of each male child, Leah would keep saying, now, this time, maybe my husband will be joined to me. Can you hear the cry of this poor Leah? She might have been ugly, but she wasn't stupid. Now, this time, my husband will be joined to me. But the fact was that Jacob hated her. And secretly, she knew he loves the sister. What a life, people. Jacob was not the nice man. Yet today still we pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God uses people that are not perfect. Hello. Oh, three of you aren't perfect. Amen. King David, what a wonderful man of God. A man after his own heart. Hallelujah. Wow. He stood on a roof and he saw something he wasn't supposed to see. It was because he was supposed to be in war anyway. Watch it. If you're not engaged in war, you're going to see things you don't want to see, which can lead you into all kinds of trouble. Stay in intercession. Then on top of it, he took this wife. She fell pregnant. He had her husband killed. Then their illegitimate son died. Here he stands. Nathan comes to him and he says to him, you got double sin. The people are going to be double angry with you. So here he stands. His illegitimate child is dead. His stolen wife stands next to him. The people are in uproar. And then he writes a psalm. Cleanse me, O Lord. What did he do? He ran to the altar of God. And he took hold of the horns of the altar. He did not run away from God. He ran to God. I want to tell you, I don't encourage you to go and sin. It will finish you off. Its aim is to alienate you from God. But listen to me. Run back to God. Always run back to God. Here's a whole list more, but Paul writes something. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 26, I don't think it's in the notes or in the back. It says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Here stands a foolish thing to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, so that no flesh could glory in his presence. You know what's the most amazing thing? You sometimes see people coming into Bible school. They look so perfect. Oh, they speak perfect. They dress perfect. They know the scriptures, whatever else. And you go like, wow, what a boyki, what a girl. They're going to take it far. I've stopped that many years ago because you know what? I've seen God takes the most unlikely people. You. Hopefully you don't think you're that first class guy. He takes you and I. A prison warder that was a stage magician that entertained people on stage. I'm not going to tell you all the other things. But he takes that and he puts me here. I want to tell you, you will never in life ever find me glorying in me, because I know it is God and him alone. He receives all the glory. Isaiah, great prayer warrior, a man of like passions, it means just like you and I, was weak, was wounded. Peter denied the Lord, yet at the day of Pentecost, he was there. Adam and Eve turned the perfect marriage arrangement into a nightmare for many to follow. Samuel murdered King Agag in a rage of anger. Joseph taunted his lost brothers. Sure. Jonah wanted to see the entire city burn. Lot hopes. That's a terrible one. I cannot read that. What Lot did to his daughters. Gave them to the Sodomites. And here we have the end of the story. If Moses and Jacob or David had resigned themselves to failure, we might never again have heard of these men. Yet Moses rose up again to become one of God's greatest heroes. It is always after a failure that man finds that God does his greatest work in him or her. Any amens? Amen. Thank you. Only one way that Moses could go into the Hall of Fame. Here's the answer. He continually seeked the face of the Lord. I quickly refer to Gideon, and then I'm going to close. Gideon sits in the wine press, hiding from the Midianite armies. And God said, that's in Judges chapter number 6. God takes him, sends an angel, and says, listen to this. This is in verse 15. Wow. The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior. And then in verse 15, just let me stop here a minute. He first says to him, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And then in verse 15, Gideon says, now this is you speaking to God. But how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest. One in Manasseh. And everyone else in my family is more important than I am. Oh, worm, Gideon. Yet the angel says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. You've heard this before, but I remind you tonight, each and every one you watching, hear me. You might feel like a total failure. You might feel like the weakest person in your family. You might feel like the most unlikely candidate. I want to tell you, the word of God comes to you tonight, and it says, I am with you, O mighty warrior. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Just to prove the point, he started with an army of 32,000. It's very nice if you go into war and you've got 32,000 soldiers behind you. And God said, no, no, no. I'm going to cut them down to 10,000. And Gideon goes like, my strength was in my army, not in the Lord. And just for the fun of it, God takes the 10,000 and he cuts them down to 300. Guess what Gideon had to do? run into the fortress, the mighty fortress, and say, Jehovah Shabaoth is with me. My Lord of hosts, the battle is not mine anymore, listen, but the Lord's. The days ahead is none of your business. You pray, you trust God, you remind him of the word he gave you tonight, and you will go through. Hallelujah. So the last scripture for tonight, John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, that is Christ, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Not what we want to hear. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. God, your mighty fortress is with you. Now go and study the names. Go and study the attributes of God. Get to know him more intimately. Read John 15. Abide in him. And in the days ahead, you're gonna be okay. Hudson Taylor said, well, that great missionary, all God's giants were weak people. Martin Luther, in 1527, that's a long time ago, had this 95 thesis that he stuck to the door there in Wittenberg. And then he went into a depression, a very severe depression. He was severely ill. On top of it, the plague hit in his lifetime, a very, very bad plague. His pregnant wife had to make room for the sick people to come into his house. He was lying depressed in the bedroom. His pregnant wife eventually had to take over this work that he started. And I did tell the story, but I must tell it again. He didn't even want to open the door anymore. So one day his wife, dressed in black, she knocked on the door, and he did open the door. And he looked at her. In those days, they still wore black when somebody died. Now they have a party. Well, very often. I cannot understand how some people can go on a drinking spree when they've just come from the grave, but they do it. So she knocked on the door, he opened, here he stood in black clothes. And his first reaction was, who died? And she said to him, God, didn't you hear? He said, where do you come on that? She said, you by your actions tell me he's dead. So we need a wife like that sometimes, just to wake us up. Anyway, in the midst of all of this, he wrote something. And I don't know where Molly is now, maybe in the back. But he wrote something. A mighty fortress is our God. One of the greatest hymns ever. You see, if you delight yourself in a mighty fortress, in the midst of a plague, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of difficulty, God will give you the strength even to write something for future generations that's still sung in some churches. A mighty fortress is our God. Yes. And we can run into him. I always like to close with a story, and this is the story. A small boy was desperately trying to lift a rock, because something had rolled under the rock and he couldn't get it out, maybe a marble or something. And he was busy with his rock, but it was hopelessly too big for him to lift up. His father walked by and he said, my boy, what are you doing? He says, I'm trying to lift this rock, daddy. And the father said to him, have you tried your very best, my son? And the sweat was running off his little face and he was trying. He said, yes, daddy. And daddy turned to him and said the following. No, you haven't done your very best, my son, because you haven't asked me to help you yet. No matter how heavy your rocks are, just ask daddy. The name of the Lord will become a strong fortress and a tower for you. You will go over, you won't go under. you'll go through. You're the head, you're not the tail. You're blessed. You're a child of God. You're a child of the Most High, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Let's stand just for a minute. Praise God. Father, I pray right now at the end of this service that you will bless in the name of Jesus Christ every person that heard this message tonight. Let them remember all the days of their lives that their God is a mighty fortress for them. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and we can run into it for safety. The names of God revealed to us will become strong towers to run into in the midst of difficulties. I ask, Lord, that you bless this word in the lives of every hearer and let them take courage. No spirit of fear, it is bound in Jesus' name. And everybody agree and say, amen. Now, as you remain standing, if there's anybody, close your eyes just for a minute. If there's anybody that came into this place and you listen to me tonight and you know that you're in trouble because you haven't even started your journey with God yet. You've never given your life to the Lord. And tonight you say, Pastor Tiens, I've heard what you said. I don't even know where to begin. The beginning is that you surrender everything to God. Surrender your difficulties, your trials, your tribulations, your trouble, your sins, everything. Surrender it to God, even your failures. And come to the altar here and say, I want to start a new journey with God. If there's anybody that hear my voice now and that say, Pastor Tiens, I want you to pray for me. I need to come to God tonight. I cannot go into these turbulent times without God. Is there anybody that say, I want to make right with God tonight? Can you raise a hand, please, so that I can see you? Anybody? You've never given your life to the Lord and you want to be saved. Thank you. I see a hand in front here. You can put it down. Thank you. I see another one. Another one. Thank you. Thank you. While I'm talking to the next category, you can still think if you've never given your life to the Lord. But those, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that a spirit of conviction comes upon people now. You've messed up in your life. Sorry for my unpastoral pulpit language, but you've messed up and you know it. You know that if you die tonight, you'll probably go to hell. You're not assured of your salvation. You know that you need to make right with God. In plain, simple language, you've backslidden. Now, don't be ashamed, because God is in this place to touch you. If that's you, raise your hand so that we can pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Nothing to be ashamed of. I'm going to ask that those people quickly come to the front. Don't be ashamed. Come. This beautiful couple here, this young lady here, they're at the back. Just come from there. Come, come, come. Just come. Take out of your seat and come. Just come to the front. Even if it is one person, we still rejoice in the Lord. Now, don't remain in your seat. Just come and stand here for me in front. So in a reguit reiki langs mekaar. Daar sê, please come, please come. The rest of you, please take your seats. I'm going to do one more thing after I've dealt with them now. And then I'm going to let you go. But this is so important. There's at least one more person here, and I'm not trying to point you out. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just want to tell you, don't play with that snake. I've identified it in the spirit. Don't play with that snake. It's sizing you up. It's preparing to devour you. Don't cut your life short, is the message from God. Don't cut your life short because of pride. If you will not confess me, Jesus said before people, neither will my Father confess you. Or just come. Don't sit. You're not going to be embarrassed. This is a matter of life and death. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. I need somebody behind him. That's it. Let's pray together for these precious people. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless each and every one of them now. This is a new beginning. This is a new beginning. And I pray, Father, that you now take them and that you heal them, that you deliver them, this precious woman that's just come out, Moisua. Everybody say with me, God Almighty, I confess my sins and I ask you now to wash me in the blood of Jesus, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me now. I forgive every person that sinned against me. And I ask your forgiveness. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I confess that you, God, raised Jesus from the dead. And he lives forever now in my heart. Amen. Hallelujah, you precious people. This is a new beginning. Are you a couple? God's gonna do some very interesting things with the two of you in the days to come. Hail is a big challenge, but it's good. Don't run. Bless you. Just turn to your heart side and please go with that brother. My sissy, bless you. Mooi so. Here gaan vir jou vat en met jou werk hoor. Yesterday in the prayer meeting, I had a prompting of the Holy Spirit. There are people here in business, in some kind of situation, but there are people owing you money or your company money. And the money is not coming through. In other words, your business is suffering because of people not paying you. And while you're coming out, nobody's going to know if you are the people that cannot pay your people. So anybody in those categories of coming out because you have debtors, or what do you call them? Mense wat jou nie kan betaal nie, wat word hulle genoem? Creditors. Ach, hallelujah. They debt you. You know what I mean. So if people are owing you money, or if you cannot meet your commitments as a businessman, I want all of you to come forward and let me pray for you. You're in business and there's a battle going on because people cannot pay you or you cannot pay your bills. It cannot be only 2, 3, 5 people. No embarrassment, just come and stand here. God's given me a wonderful, wonderful word that is going to work on your behalf. Amen. I want to take my time to minister to these people. And while you come forward still, if God's still speaking with you, if you have a pain in your body right now, anybody, put your hand on that pain. There's a terrible stomach bug going around. There's all kinds of things happening. Put your hand on where the pain is. And now let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, even you watching via live streaming or the internet, put a hand on that place. Because God said that he will heal tonight. God said that he will touch your body. Now, confess your sins. Forgive. Ask forgiveness. And I release healing now in the name of Jesus for each and every person that is suffering with pain in their bodies. That pain, go in Jesus' name. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Amen. Receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. Gustav Jelle, you're not here by accident. God had a message for you tonight. And the Here say, I'm going to speak Afrikaans just for a minute. There's some decisions that you need to make. Spoke about decisions earlier. Just trust God. He's going to come through for you. He's giving you wisdom. How many of you need to make life-changing decisions? Can you raise hands? Put your hands on your head. I'm just in the flow now. I release for you the mind of Christ. Wisdom, peace. You will know what to do. You will know what to do. And Lord, I ask that you stop them from making mistakes. Lord, that they will make the right decisions. Here it comes, in the right time. Wait for the cloud to move, the Lord says. And then I release on top of that patience for you. Because often we want to run ahead of God. Now, I'm going to minister to these precious people in front. And the rest of you, if you will just stand with me, I'm going to release you now to go in the peace of the Lord. Father, I lift my hands over this audience and I release them now in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The presence of God goes with you like a cloud during the day and like a pillar of fire at night, and you will know that God is with you. Please go and study in the name of Jesus, I ask you. Go and study the names and the attributes of God. And stay victorious, stay pure, in Jesus' name. And everybody agree and say, amen. Those in front.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.